760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you give us that joy back tenfold. I'm Josh Harris, joined by a Catholic dream team in here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good morning.
A litany of saints.
A litany of saints. Pray for us.
Speaking of prayer, I believe you have a prayer for us, Allison.
Sure. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the gift of being able to glorify you today, this beautiful Friday morning. And we just ask for your guidance as we go through the day and as we enter the weekend. Help us get that rest that we need and help us always keep our focus on you no matter what we are doing. We love you and we praise you. We ask this in all Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And also, we have to remember that today Pope Leo asked for a day of fasting and prayer for peace.
Yes, yes.
And today is the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Beautiful.
So it is something that the Pope is urging everybody to dedicate this Friday to prayer and fasting,
yep,
asking the Lord to grant peace, justice, and comfort to all who suffer because of armed conflict.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And he said all the faithful should devote this day to fasting and prayer, imploring the Lord to grant us that peace and justice. And the context of this is, you know, he emphasized Mary's the Queen of Peace,
mm-hmm,
you know, and there's certainly been wounds from wars in the Holy Land and Ukraine. So we ask for her intercession.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she knows all about conflicts. She was at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
But she
yes.
knows about triumph as well.
She does.
And God's mercy prevailing.
No, she does. And when it comes to fasting, yeah, I mean, fasting from meat, I mean, fasting from maybe social media. There are many mm-hmm. ways that we can fast in this beautiful
yeah.
day.
Absolutely. Or like me, I fast from taxes.
Well, that'll catch up with you, Josh. Fast now, yeah. but pay the piper
and then
later.
I had to fast from freedom shortly after that.
Dave, are you there?
I believe I am.
Well, there you are.
Turn up, Dad. Dad, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Dad's home. Can you let me borrow the car keys today, Dad?
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks. What have you been yeah. doing, Dad? Where you been?
Well, yesterday, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I was dressed rather casually.
You were?
I had my dad starter outfit on.
Yeah, the dad joke starter kit.
But, no, we had it was our inspection. Every 3 years, we get inspected to make sure we are, well, basically, you know, I mean, being a Catholic radio station, you know, we have to answer to a higher power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
The FCC.
Oh, God.
No.
Higher on top of that.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely higher than that.
Definitely a higher power, but not the highest
yeah,
power.
Yeah, not the highest.
Right. So we had to go out to our transmitter to make sure our high power 50,000 watt transmitter was in compliance mm-hmm. and inspected. And then they had mm-hmm. to inspect all our files back here at the
yeah.
At the office and everything.
You,
so
you pointed the bunny ears in the right direction, right?
Right.
Some, oh my gosh!
If you're old enough to remember, I put tin foil on the tops of the antennas just so we get better reception.
Yeah,
I remember those days.
Yeah, but no, and I just wanted to point that out. You know, it's like you turn on the radio and you don't think anything of it. You think, oh, the Quest is going to be there, but you know, really, there's a lot that goes into this. And there was one, and I want to mention this too, because when you go out to the transmitter site and you see the big transmitter and these towers and the whole thing, I'm always reminded too, do you have any idea what our electric bill is just to keep that transmitter going?
Oh boy, no, I don't. Do
it's
you?
$36,000 a year.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
And that's why yeah. the pledge drives are important, because if we don't make it, Dave pays out of pocket.
Right. And I don't have that much money in my
so you might not hear it. I know.
Yeah.
No, it's important. You know, and truly, Dave, you and I were talking yesterday when you came back. It's so important to kind of understand all that goes into a station and all the behind the mm-hmm. scenes things that take place and the expenses, because there are a lot. Yeah, we just take it for granted, just knowing that you can turn the radio on or go to the app and hear a show. Mm-hmm. You know?
And so we've got a pledge drive coming up in a few weeks. And so just keep this in mind as you're prayerfully listening.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. You don't want them to garnish Dave's wages. So
absolutely.
Be nice to Dave.
Okay? And now, Josh, you were feeling a little under the weather this week. Are you feeling better today?
No, unfortunately, he's not.
I'm like a prime example of like, you get to maybe 40% better, 50%, and then you push super hard, and then you go back to like, you go down like 40% again. So you can tell by that sniff.
The sniff. I'm not going to laugh today because it's not funny anymore.
And I got to go and perform in Denver tonight for the National Catholic Singles Conference, which I'm really excited about. I just trust God will, what's that scripture? He will raise you up on eagle's wings. So
he's going to make you soar, Josh.
I hope I soar, but yeah, it should be good. But I mean, yeah, so I'm going to be splitting right after this and going back to bed to hope I can recalibrate for tonight's performance. Because then I got a flight. I got to head to the airport in the AM. So, yeah, but I'm grateful for that. Just, in, you know, I remember talking to Dave and I was like, Dave, you know, this is kind of what's going on. Is it all right if I, you know, split a little bit early? And Dave was super compassionate, said, remember Michael Jordan in the finals when he got the flu?
What was that, the 99 finals?
It was 97.
97.
You know, and I could just imagine, Dave, you would make a great doctor, wouldn't you?
He pushed through, Josh.
Somebody comes in, their face is just leaking like a faucet, and Dave goes, here's your prescription. Game 5 of the 97 finals.
Jordan had a fever. He didn't feel good. He was not able to keep food down, but he persevered.
There you go. Dave is writing a one-way ticket to HR with the advice like that.
No, I love that. I totally love that. And now, you know, talking about basketball, I do remember when I was in high school not feeling well. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think I pushed through, too. But it wasn't. It seems like when you're there and the adrenaline is kicking in, you can kind of push through.
Yes.
You're not moving around a lot.
Well, I do. I had a show one time. I remember the one that sticks out in particular. I mean, I was in bad shape, but I mean, I couldn't. Was out of town. I couldn't bail on it. You know what I mean? And I just remember just hovering under the covers and the good Lord, like Lazarus, raised me up like a maniac when I got on stage. I mean, it was like a shot of adrenaline and then just afterwards kaput. So I'm trusting in his providence and grace to pull me through and just anchoring in that scripture, cast your cares to the Lord because he cares for you.
And he does. And he sees exactly what you're doing and he will definitely take care of you tonight, Josh.
Amen.
And one
you can be like Mike.
So you can be like Mike. And one last thing, I want to say happy birthday to my mom. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday.
Nice. Happy birthday. Woo!
My dear pretty, pretty Patty.
You're going to take her out to get her driver's license after
this. Oh, hush. She's a good driver.
No, I meant because she's 16. Okay.
Never mind. 16.
That
no, you know, she's probably
you can't
laughing
win
right
them
now.
All. First drink.
Get the bad ones out now before the weekend.
I know. Allison, you know me with jokes. I don't always get the jokes. So there you go.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
We got an action-packed show today. Kathleen Lindemann is going to be closing us out strong. By the way, she's the director of evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel.
In Woodstock,
in
you
Woodstock.
Betcha.
Woodstock, fantastic. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Rose of Lima. Our buddy Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, is going to be unpacking the gospel for Sunday so we can have our hearts anchored in the right direction. But next, Glencora Wagnon, I hope I stuck that right.
You did.
Nice, I'm honored. Parishioner at St. Jude's will be talking to us about reviving awareness of the importance of veterans in our Catholic community. This is truly heroic stuff.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
I am so delighted to have Lynn Cora Wagnon here with us again. She's a parishioner at St. Jude's, and she is going to be talking to us about reviving awareness of the importance of our veterans in the Catholic community. So welcome to the Quest, Lynn Cora.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no, this is a delight, because you have some really good stuff to talk about, and important stuff, because when you think of being patriotic, you know, I've got my flag out there on the porch, but it's so important understanding what those that have served have gone through. So I am so happy to have you on and hear
and
about
their families.
And their families that, yeah, definitely put so much there. So with the Catholic War Veterans, you know, what is that and what is your role in that organization?
Sure. The CWV is a veteran organization that is based in our Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So it doesn't compete with other veteran organizations, but it provides a space for veterans who are Catholic mm-hmm. to come together. And, you know, faith is first, right?
Yes.
My role in this is we've just launched the Joseph M. Peek Post
yes.
here in Atlanta.
Yes, exciting.
And so the post is the veterans, and then I'm the president of the auxiliary.
Ah.
So we are family members of veterans, and we support the post. And then we also have our own mission that comes alongside and really provides support for the family members of veterans
wow.
that are in our Catholic faith.
And that's so important, because truly, you know, being a wife or being a mother of someone that is serving or has served, they put a lot on the line, you know, for their soldier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's nice to have just someone else who understands.
Yes.
And particularly someone else who shares your faith and
yes.
can pray with you, can, you know, just meet up after Mass or attend events with you. It's just that, like, even more of a bond, right?
Absolutely. Definitely being, you know, united in faith. So why is having an auxiliary important, especially today?
Yeah. So I think that, like, growing up, I'm a 90s kid, so everybody, like, I knew, you know, there were a lot of kids. I grew up in San Antonio and then Ohio, and there were a lot of kids that I knew whose parents served in the Gulf War.
Yeah.
But everybody's, you know, grandparents had served in some capacity in World War II. We all knew a veteran.
Yes.
And today, that's not necessarily true.
Mm.
When my brothers and sisters were serving in Iraq, I didn't really know anyone else
wow.
around me who had
yeah.
immediate family members. There were a lot of people who didn't have that connection to
yeah.
the veteran community. And so kind of my personal, like, mantra coming
yes.
into this role
yeah.
is, and kind of what I try to focus is that everyone should know a veteran.
Yeah.
And that's the goal, is to get our veterans visible in our Catholic community
mm-hmm.
and particularly with our families
mm-hmm.
and allowing the kids and the families to interact with veterans and get an understanding of, you know, service is so important to our faith
yeah.
and this is a unique way that they've served our country,
yes.
our community, and in our faith community as
yes.
well.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is so beautiful. So what is the mission of the auxiliary and what is your role, personal focus of it?
Yeah, sure. So, we're there to, support the veterans
yeah.
and, in the post, but also to support the families.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a member of the auxiliary, you have to be 2 degrees. You can be up to 2 degrees removed from a veteran. So, you know, first degree would be brother, sister, parent. Second degree would be aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa.
Yeah.
Right. So just anyone who has had a family member within 2 degrees can join our auxiliary and be a part of the programs that we have to support veterans and their families. And as the auxiliary,
I know that's a tricky one sometimes
right.
to say, yes.
we particularly focus on the family again. So we'll be throwing a lot of family events.
Yeah.
I see a lot of potlucks in my future.
Yes, which is so nice. Bringing people
exactly.
together with food and faith and fellowship, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so right now, you know, we're still forming. I'm still trying to gain members and find people to serve and the different positions that we'll have. But, you know, we're talking about, like, I've started reaching out to choir directors at parishes and parish schools. So if you're a choir director who's listening, I'm going to be calling you. To just see if they'll be willing to add some patriotic music to their repertoire so that we can then come together and go to St. George's Village or other places and do little concerts every now and then, things like that, where I'm not trying to add to a family's already busy schedule, but saying add opportunities to serve our veterans.
And again, it's important serving them, you know?
Exactly.
Some might not have any living family members. They might be lonely. They might not even be really connected to their faith. So what a great opportunity that this is going to be for all of those out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I do see it, as like we're creating kind of like an extended family.
Yes.
So that if you are here and you're a veteran and your family isn't close by or anything, you can come join us and just have a whole huge family.
Yeah. Or even if somebody knows of a veteran that is Catholic or fallen away from the church, they can reach out to them and say, come get involved, be a part of it.
Yeah.
No, I love it. It sounds so family oriented. So what types of programs do you all provide?
Yeah, so I kind of already mentioned that we will provide a lot of family events.
Yeah.
We're looking to get choir events to go serve our veterans. We are also looking at getting involved with our Laudate Si movement and bringing back the idea of like a victory garden.
Yes.
You know, educational programs, I guess.
Yes.
That would fall under something that's been put on my heart like very recently, but in a very obvious, like, Holy Spirit, I'm telling you to do this, don't mess this up way. Is a pro-life effort to start a foster care ministry.
Oh, wow.
To support families that are receiving foster kids in our community. I think that that would be a beautiful opportunity for our veterans and families. And then one tangible event that we have planned is we will be participating at the St. Nicholas Market Mary Our Queen.
Yes.
So that'll be in the near distant future of December 13th.
You know, and truly, it's going to be here in no
time. It's going to be here in no
time.
Truly. I mean, they already have Thanksgiving cards.
I know. Isn't it wild? Yes. So. The fall, boom, everything happens fast.
So, yeah. So that market is coordinated by one of our fellow auxiliary members, and it's really, you know, about celebrating the true meaning of Christmas, enjoying a traditional market that's focused on the real reason for the season, the birth of our Lord. And so that'll be a 9:30 to 4 p.m. event where we'll have a market and we'll have events, and it'll be an exciting time for us to also kind of like launch our auxiliary effort.
Yeah, no, and I know they had a great turnout last year.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be present there too, the Quest.
Oh, great.
So I am super duper excited. So, Lincora, how can people get involved and learn more about this wonderful opportunity for veterans?
Yeah, you can visit our website, which is cwvatl.org. And you can email me if you're interested in the auxiliary. It's auxiliary@cwvatl.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Glencora, for coming on and sharing this beautiful, beautiful mission that you all have here within the Archdiocese of Atlanta.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Coming up later in the show, Kathleen Lindemann, she is going to be talking to us about how we can keep our families focused on prayer during this busy, busy school year since it is back in session. Chuck Persner is going to be helping us dive into learning about St. Rose of Lima. And Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, is going to be diving into this upcoming Sunday's Gospel.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:22.
We're joined by Father Mark White, pastor of St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, and Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, unpacking Sunday's Gospel. How are you, Father?
Doing good. 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we're, of course, in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus passed through the towns and villages, teaching as he went, and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is a gospel that lots of ink has been spilled on the question here that Jesus is asked and his answer, particularly in the last century. There's been a lot of a lot of controversy around it, but we need to start in the original context. You know, Josh, this was a question that would have been asked by somebody in this ancient Jewish context. And I think Jesus's first, you know, emphasis here is, you know, don't worry about the number, but focus on what you need to do to follow me. You know, imagine a guy coming up to him that mm-hmm. would have been maybe a part of the crowd that would have said the praises of Jesus, maybe ate with him, maybe hung out with him. But Jesus's answer is said, well, that doesn't really matter. What you need to do is you need to follow me. You need to strive to enter through this narrow gate. And you do this through pursuing holiness and being obedient to my will, and particularly really laying everything down for the Lord and following him. And that was really what Jesus was getting at. And he also emphasizes this one phrase. He says, I do not know where you are from. You know, those who are on the outside looking in. He says it twice. In the other gospel, in Matthew, he says, I don't know you. What does Jesus say, Josh? You know, in another part of the gospel of John, he says that eternal life is that you know the one true God mm-hmm. and Jesus Christ whom he sent. And this is a knowledge that is not just an intellectual knowledge. This is a knowledge kind of like the idea of what a man is said to know his wife. This is an intimacy with Christ that is a oneness with Christ that is expressed in obedience. You notice he says here, those that are on the outsides, he calls them evildoers. So that he's saying that we're called to be his disciples, we're called to follow him and express that through obedience. That's how we strive to enter through this narrow gate. And that's what each individual person needs to be thinking about, rather than trying to ask the question, well, how many people are going to be saved and how many mm-hmm. people are not going to be saved? So it is an interesting question that is asked, and we've talked a lot about that in the last 100 years. We could talk more about that right now, but that's really the lesson
yeah.
of the gospel. You know, it's not so much we don't want to canonize people. We don't want to just assume they're in heaven, because we need to pray for the souls in purgatory. And it's, I think sometimes people get canonized. They're like, you know, they're in heaven and they're like, okay, I need your prayers. You know, I'm in purgatory. You think I'm in heaven because you put me there. We also don't want to condemn people and give up on them. And I think that might have been more common 100 years ago. Now everybody kind of is canonized and the people assume they're in heaven, but a lot of times they're in purgatory and they need our prayers. And if we've already put them in heaven. So you want to avoid these extremes of giving up on people and then also assuming that they're in a good place. And assume that they need our prayers that have died, that, you know, go be, and they need our support.
Father, you are spotlighting this call to holiness and to pray for other people. But this call to holiness, it's personal, but it's universal as well.
It is. I mean, we're all called to this. And, you know, some people don't have the same resources or access to God that others. But insofar as we have that, we're called to it. And that God expects us to respond in obedience and trust and following the Lord, not just knowing about Jesus. And, you know, in the South, you know, Josh, I mean, everybody knows about Jesus. You might even have a bumper sticker that says, you know, Jesus saves, or do you know the Lord? Or some people even say, I know where I'm going. Where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church, but I know where I'm going when I die, you know? So, I mean, that's never a good, you know, and a good answer to that, you know, because we're supposed to be a part of the mystical body. So we're supposed to be in a community of people. That's part of this relationship we have with the Lord. And so, yeah, that's what he's telling us to do. He does imply that it will be difficult too, that we have to take up our cross, so that a Christian life that isn't swimming against the tide or the stream or taking the road less traveled is really not a Christian life. It's kind of a counterfeit version of Christianity. And we do see a lot of that. We need to be careful. That's not how we see our relationship with God.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who are listening, right, who may feel like they could go a little bit farther in that relationship with the Lord, what would you say is a step they could take from just knowing about Jesus to being known by him and, you know, walking intimately as well with him in their daily life?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think it just starts with the things, you know, that the church has said for, you know, for centuries, and that is really a personal prayer life. You know, if you haven't done any kind of prayer like that, maybe start with 15 minutes a day. Maybe take up a holy hour for adoration at your church. If you have a church that does perpetual adoration or several hours a week, sign up for one of those hours. Spend time with the Lord to learn to know him, to know his love, and then let that inspire you in being obedient. So what are there areas in your life where you're like, you know, I just don't believe that teaching of the church. You know, I don't believe in the holy day of obligation. I don't believe in the church's teaching on sexuality. I mean, nobody follows that, and I don't believe all that. I don't believe those controversial teachings. You know, here's the thing I would challenge people with that is, first of all, why do you not believe it? And why does the church teach it? You know, part of knowing the Lord is he will give us some understanding. So sit before them and tell them that, and then be willing to open your heart up to learn why he's called people to live a certain way. And I think when we do that, that all involves some study. It doesn't have to, you don't have to go get a master's degree, but some study, you know, get on Hallow or get on Form, that digital website, and start looking through the catechism. Maybe do the Bible in a year, or maybe if you can't do it in a year like me, do it in 4 years. You know? do catechism in 4 years. You'll find that there's a lot of reasons for the Lord when he calls us to take up our cross. He's not trying to spoil our fun or ruin our freedom. He's trying to give us true freedom, you know, which is really a life lived in him in this life.
Yeah. And one thing they can do, we of course have the privilege of basking in your wise words, but I'm sure if someone's listening and they're in the Catholic faith, they have a pastor or a parochial vicar that they could reach out to. Really? A deacon. I mean, praise God that our churches are stacked with people who are sitting on treasure troves of wisdom, including yourself, Father Mark White. We are blessed by this incredible reflection, preparing our hearts for Sunday's gospel. Thank you once again.
Glad to be here. God bless.
Catholic News Agency, the Vatican has approved new patron saints for the entire Arabian Peninsula. The Dicastery for Divine Worship confirmed a new liturgical calendar for the Apostolic Vicariate of Southern Arabia, which serves Catholics in the United Arab Emirates, Oman, and Yemen. Saints Peter and Paul are now the patrons of the Vicariate, while the Blessed Virgin Mary, under the title of Our Lady of Arabia, has been named patroness of all the Gulf countries. The calendar also honors early martyrs and missionaries connected to the region, reminding us that Christianity's deep roots there.
Later on the Morning Quest,
Kathleen Lindemann, is the director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, is going to be talking about keeping our family engaged in prayer now that school is back in session. Don't forget our memory verse for the week. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. Chuck Perzer is going to help us get acquainted with St. Rose of Lima. And he is going to be coming up next talking about that beautiful saint.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:36.
Chuck, who is on the agenda today?
Oh, good morning, Josh. Well, we're looking ahead on this 22nd day of August, which in actuality is the memorial of the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We celebrate that every year a week after the Solemnity of the Assumption. But we're going to look ahead just one day to tomorrow, Saturday, August 23rd, which is the optional memorial of St. Rose of Lima, the first saint of the Americas, recognized and thus crowned as such in the heavenly kingdom as a virgin, known for her chastity. Chastity didn't come easy for St. Rose, though. She had many suitors. In fact, she had to quite literally fight them off. She was quite beautiful, as they say. St. Rose of Lima was born in the year 1586, was a very uncomplicated and beautiful soul, first given the name Isabella at her baptism. One day, however, an image of a mystical rose appeared over her crib, inspiring her mother to change her name to Rose. And, you know, in later years, Josh, Rose became fearful that changing her name was an act of hubris. She took her concern to Our Blessed Mother in prayer, and it was in a vision shortly thereafter that she was told by Our Lady that she was indeed destined to bear the name Rose. And in fact, for a short time, she was known as Rose of St. Mary. Born into a complex, violent, and war-torn world in the year 1586, Lima, Peru was a particularly turbulent place at the time. Once again, Rose was stunningly attractive and had many suitors. And in fact, in an effort to make herself unattracted, she would cut off her hair and rub this coarse pepper that was indigenous to Lima on her face in order to cause it to blister and make herself attractive to the men who were literally knocking her door down. She was far more interested in cleansing the inside of the cup, as Jesus would often say to the Pharisees, rather than ruminating over appearance and vanity. And, you know, in this day and age of plastic surgery, Botox, and endless filtered social media selfies where virtually nothing is real, here we have a young woman, very young woman, who actually downplayed her physical beauty because to Rose of Lima, it was an obstacle to her pursuit, once again, of the better part, as Jesus taught Martha in that seminal gospel encounter. Saint Catherine of Siena would quickly become Rose of Lima's role model.
All right, there you go.
And the similarities of their lives, easy for me to say, were strikingly particular in matters pertaining to their resistance to marriage, their love of the Eucharist. Much like St. Catherine of Siena, Rose would go on to join the Third Order of St. Dominic, a saint we talked about not long ago, back on the 8th of August. Her mortifications increased to include fasting. She wore coarse clothing, spent time in isolation and prayer. Prolonged prayer was a big part of her day. She was said to have voluntarily worn a makeshift crown of thorns and suffered an invisible stigmata. She offered up these sufferings for the sake of lost souls, once again for her country, and for the conversion of sinners. She served the poor with tireless love, funding her efforts through her artistic needlework and tatting. And in remembrance of this, she is the co-patroness of embroiderers, along with the saint we talked about not long ago, St. Clare of Assisi. So coincidentally enough, they're nestled quite close together on the liturgical calendar. We talked about St. Clare back on the 8th of August. St. Rose of Lima's life would be something of an unusual existence, again, proactively seeking out mortifications and living largely as a hermit, although she would emerge from her meager living quarters to tend to the affirmation needs of the impoverished city of Lima. She would die young in the year age of 1617 at the age of 13 and was canonized in 1671 by Clement the 10th. So there you have our saint who we will remember tomorrow. I encourage everyone to get up in the morning on Saturday and go to daily mass, not the vigil. This will be the morning mass, and celebrate the life of this great saint.
Boy, oh boy. You know, sometimes God puts a major call on somebody's life and they just say yes right away. This wonderful soul did. I mean, from a young age, took that vow of virginity, practicing severe fasting and penance, joined the Third Order of St. Dominic, living at home while dedicating herself to prayer, caring for the sick, helping the poor, and that extreme asceticism. That's something. A lot of us later in life can, you know, have an interior recalcitrance, right? Go kicking and screaming against being more penitential.
Yeah.
But here we see this young girl had no qualms with giving God her yes and giving him that yes right away.
Yeah. Yeah, truly an amazing story. Once again, growing up in turbulent times, Lima, Peru was a difficult place at the time. And here was a girl who was just able to, as you say, give herself to Christ. We talk about this idea of spousal mysticism. Once again, St. Clare of Assisi comes to mind, St. Gertrude. We talk about the Virgin Martyr Saints, those that are remembered in Eucharistic prayer number one. We've had a chance to discuss all of them now in the time that we've been on the air, and they truly are a great inspiration and good role models for our kids. You know,
yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, you know, in a day and age where vanity takes center stage, it was a girl who actually downplayed her looks. I mean, the idea that she would rub this pepper on her face to make herself less attractive, it's quite the opposite of what's going on in our world today with these filtered photos. Well, like, what is real anymore? You don't even know. But what is real is what St. Rose of Lima pursued.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're definitely not going to see that in a tabloid, that's for sure. By the way, here's some quotes attributed to St. Rose. Apart from the cross, there is no other ladder by which we may get to heaven.
I think that's her most famous quote. I see that pop up from time to time in some of the devotionals that I read. Yeah, that's the one she's most known for, but she has a few, as you know.
Another one, when we serve the poor and the sick, we serve Jesus. We must not fail to help our neighbors, because in them, we serve Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Without the struggle of afflictions, it's impossible to reach the height of grace. The gift of grace increases as the struggle increases.
Hmm. There you go. Yeah, God gives us what we need when we need it.
Man, and some of these saints, it's incredible. They just embrace that cross. And in a way, it's like they savor it because they know it's heightening their holiness.
Yeah.
Here's another one. If only mortals would learn how great it is to possess divine grace, how beautiful, how noble, how precious, how many riches it hides within itself, how many joys and delights, no one would complain about his cross or about the troubles that may happen to him if he would come to know the scales on which they are weighed when they are distributed to men.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the saints had a story to tell, and you can almost, in some of their quotes, and this one in particular, they're almost exasperated, as if to say, you don't know what you're missing. You know, if we could just get past some of these things that the secular world draws us to, and instead pursue the better part, you know. And I should also point out, living in New York for as long as I did, and spending many times in prayer at St. Patrick's Cathedral, beautiful statue of St. Rose of Lima. If you walk down on the right side of the cathedral, I can still picture it today, about halfway down on the right, nice little shrine set up for her. So if you are in the process of planning a trip to New York, I know it's a popular tourist destination, be sure to stop at St. Patrick's and offer a prayer or two in front of that statue. I should also add, I had an Aunt Rose, and she, in fact, I believe is a saint now in heaven, but a very beautiful woman. And I think of her on this day. In fact, I usually offer up Holy Communion for her at Mass on the day of St. Rose of Lima's feast day, because she is, along with my mother and her other sister, Mary. I mean, these were like the spiritual anchors in my life when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I think they're very much part of the reason that I'm still attending church and living out my faith the best I can.
A reminder, you never know what kind of seed your influence is going to plant in somebody's heart.
Very true.
By the way, she died in 1617 at 31. Her funeral attended by large crowds, including government officials.
Yes, yes, she had that profound of an impact, no question about it.
Patron saint of Peru, the Philippines, South America, embroiderers, gardeners, and those suffering ridicule for their piety.
Yes, yeah, large patronage, and big patronages too. These are big things. So.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. So we remember her today, and we say St. Rose of Lima.
Pray for us.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Don't forget our memory verse. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. And coming up next, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, will be talking about keeping our family engaged in prayer now that school is back in session.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
I am so delighted to have Kathleen Lindemann on again, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock. And she is going to be talking about how we can keep our family engaged in prayer now that school is back in session. So welcome back, Kathleen.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
Oh, we are thrilled. You took a little vacation and have had some time off. So great to have you back on, inspiring us on how we can be holier people. So thrilled.
Well, now that the school year has started, I'm sure parents are kind of scrambling, trying to get on a schedule, which the kids definitely need to be on a schedule, right? After so many weeks off for the summer.
Oh, yes.
But one of the things that really goes to the wayside is our prayer life, because we're just trying to keep up with the necessary things. What school supplies do we need? What clothes do they need? What permission slip do they need to be turned in? The health records. I mean, just everything is going on at the same time. And yet one of the things that we really do is we kind of put prayer off to the side, and then we kind of think about, geez, we should be doing this, but how can we get started in doing it? And really, when you look at it, our children are a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And what we do as parents, preparing them for life, is the most valuable gift that we can give them is a prayer life. Because maintaining a vibrant prayer life as a family once the school year begins can be challenging, but it's a vital part of strengthening the faith and the family bonds. And so even if you haven't done it and your kids are teenagers now, but if they're still living at home, it's a way to pray. It's a way to bring them back. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, I just wanted to give a few tips and not overwhelm the listeners on how to start. But the most important thing is to do is to start.
Yes.
To start to pray. Make it a priority. And it can be really, really simple, especially if you haven't prayed much with your children. Doesn't matter what age they are. Let's start making a plan to do that. When my kids were little, one of the things I always did when they were leaving the house was, one of them took the bus, one of them drove himself to school, you know, eventually, is I always made the sign of the cross on their forehead.
Oh,
and I said, the Lord be with you. And it's just a simple thing that can take literally half a second to do. But what it's doing is it's implanting that seed within them that God is watching over them, you know, that I am going to be safe. And what comes with that is the hope that there is a plan for our lives. And, you know, a lot of these teenagers, a lot of these kids have lost that hope, right?
Yes.
Because as Chuck was saying in the prior segment, you know, you're the social media and everything that is unreal is appearing real.
Yes.
But the thing that's real the most, Allison, is Jesus.
Amen.
And we would not have the anxiety that we have if we formed our children with prayer.
Yes.
So all I'm saying is let's start. And that can be as simple as we need to be sitting down together with our children at mealtime and asking God for a blessing over the food. Mm-hmm. And pretty much a lot of people, you know, do that. Say a little blessing before the meal begins, or certainly after the meal begins. That's a wonderful way of engaging kids. But one of the things that I did with my kids is that when they were going to bed at night, I would sit with each one of them separately in their room. And sometimes I would just kneel by the bed, or I'd sit on the edge of the bed, and I'd say, what are you most thankful for today?
Oh.
And what's one thing that you need to pray for or to ask God for strength? And a lot of times kids will say, I don't know. And say, well, there's got to be one thing that you did at school today that was pretty cool, and one thing that you want to do better. Let's pray to God for that. And you just engage in a short prayer.
Yeah.
It's making that simple language and engaging them. It's teaching them that prayer is just talking to God.
Yes.
We don't need to be in church. We don't need to be kneeling, although that's great.
Yes.
But we could be driving our car and just saying, Lord, I'm going into work today, and I'm facing this problem, or I'm going to school today for this test. Can you be with me? That's a prayer.
Yes.
That's opening the door of the heart, right? And allowing God to massage that heart. It's a spiritual muscle that needs to be exercised. Like we had said before in many segments past, so we said, if you want to work out and have a great sculptured body, you can't do it just by saying, I'm going to work out today.
Correct.
You actually have to do the activity. So one of the things that we can do that's really kind of cool with our kids if we don't know where to start is to do the Acts prayer. And you can remember the Acts prayer from the Acts of the Apostles, right? When Jesus assumed into heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, they were given the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to go out to all the ends of the earth and teach everyone about who Jesus Christ was. Well, Acts is an acronym that we can use for prayer. And Acts A for adoration. So we just spend a few minutes and with your child, with your family. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you are powerful. Lord, you are almighty. You are the eternal God. Lord, you hold everything in the palm of your hand. I give praise and honor to you, Lord. That's A for adoration. C is for confession. Mm-hmm. And that could be a private thing, of course. Lord, I'm sorry I talked to that person on the phone the way that I did. I kind of lost my temper with them. Or, Lord, they can say this to themselves. Lord, I don't like the way I acted on the bus when everybody was teasing somebody else and I kind of went along with them.
Yeah.
Please forgive me. So A for adoration, C for confession, and then you can come back together as a family. T for Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for today? You know, I'm thankful that I passed my test, or I'm thankful for the great lunch I had, or the great recess I had, or,
yes,
you know, the great conversation I had with my mother, or whatever. And then S is, what are we praying for? Supplication. What are we praying for today? Lord, I'm praying for this. Give me strength to see this activity through. So ACTS stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And I got to tell you, Allison, sometimes I'm at Costco and I'm in that big long line.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of getting my phone out and looking at, you know, worthless information.
Yeah.
That's going to catch my eye. I stand there and I do A for adoration and I pray to God. Or as I'm standing there with all the people around.
Yeah.
C for confession. Lord, help me to be patient because I'm not patient in this long line,
yes,
with all these people, you know.
Yes,
but
yes.
And what am I thankful for? I'm thankful I can stand in line and purchase the items I'm about to purchase. I mean, it can be just as simple,
yes,
as that. And then, of course, everyone needs prayer, supplication. What are we praying for? And when you do that, in terms of the acronym, you're teaching your child how to adore, how to be aware of good behavior, bad behavior, how to be thankful, and how to lift up our concerns to the Lord. And one more thing, if we have the time.
Absolutely.
Is we can turn in the Hail Mary, because you know how much we both love our mother.
Yes.
Quest Radio loves our Holy Mother. Is we can say a Hail Mary, and I used to do this when I was driving my kids to school, and I would say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for Allison,
yes,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And what I would do is I would say the prayer, and I would pause and let my child in the back seat fill in someone's name that came to mind,
yes,
for him. And what a beautiful way to take the Hail Mary, a very short little prayer that we could even do with our kids at the end of our ACTS, you,
yes,
know, acronym of praying, and then just put that little bit, pray for Michael, you know, your child's name, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And I say to my kids, I love you. Good night. Sleep well. Sleep with the angels. But I really like you.
Aww.
See, we can always say we love you. Falls off our tongue so easily.
Yeah.
But when was the last time you said to your child or your relative or your neighbor, I like you?
Oh, beautiful. That is so beautiful, Kathleen. And I love how you were talking about the Hail Mary, too, because I do that quite often. I put my kids' names in there. And even when I was walking around a high school parking lot, it came to me, wow, there are students that park here. We can go to our local schools and pray and intercede for these students that are going to be parking in those spots.
Oh, yes.
You know, who knows? Even the people at Costco. So what a beautiful, beautiful message of intercessory prayer. Thank you so much, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel, as well as Director of Adult Evangelization. We are so blessed to have you aboard.
Well, thank you, Allison. Stay prayed up, everyone, and stay close to Mary.
Amen. Well, what a beautiful week we had, and what a great show. And I wish you all a happy Friday and a great weekend. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.